This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. The 11th Malaysia Plan, the last phase of Malaysia's five-year development planning before the nation achieves a developed and high-income nation status by 2020, is expected to be tabled in Parliament this June. In view of this, the Malaysian Left Coalition are organising a people-centred symposium on the proposed plan this weekend to obtain views from civil society and the grassroots on various key issues. I find out more from two of the speakers at the symposium. Veronica Ratnam, the coordinator of the Women's Desk of Party Socialist Malaysia, and Parameswari Alumalai, a coordinator with Jerit. Ladies, could you start us off by elaborating on your roles at Party Socialist Malaysia and Jerit?
Thank you. I'm with the Women's Desk of Party Socialist, so which means my role would be to highlight the problems faced by women, and in particular, women who are poor, and to articulate these issues. First of all, I think to raise the awareness among party members. In particular, this year, our focus has been on single mothers. This is a group which is very huge. And to see how, as a socialist party, we will be able to bring these voices to the front.
I am Paramis from Jerit. And Jerit is a coalition where we are working closely with workers, urban settlers, urban poor, and also the Minimum Wage Act 900, and we also pushed through since 2002 this act, and managed to get the act on 2013, and now we also still carry on the campaign because the 900 minimum wage is very low. It was a 10 years ago campaign, you know, started 10 years ago. So now we are moving towards to increase the minimum wage act. Yeah. So, and also we are working closely with housing issues, which involve the urban settlers, the flat owners, and all.
So we're heading into the 11th Malaysia Plan, but looking back at the 10th Malaysia Plan, were there things that you each found lacking? Veronica, you in terms of serving the needs of single mothers, and Paramesh for the urban poor?
You see, we have a huge number of single mothers. The population statistics of 2010 places that figure at 870 over 1,000. So whatever programs that there are need to address the problems of the women and not just a selective few. So I think in that aspect, the 10th Malaysian Plan has not been able to address problems at that level.
Paramis?
I think one of the main lacking factor in the 10th Malaysian Plan would be the housing for the poor. We have 1.7 million families who do not own their own houses. And if we look at houses that built by the government or the private sector for the lower income, is very less. So it's not accommodate for the 1.7 million households. So we have free suggestion in coming 11th plan to overcome this.
And when you look at the formulation of these different policies, is there sufficient public consultation?
I think there hasn't been enough public consultation. Public consultation would have to reflect general voices on the floor, particularly the poor. But if you look at public voices, and if it's only from a particular sector, and I think that is not representative of the people. So that is why we have this effort to gather more voices.
So you're both set to present at this weekend's symposium. Let's walk through what you will be presenting. Veronica, as mentioned, your focus will be on single mothers.
Yes.
And you gave some statistics earlier. Could you kind of refresh our memories as to how many single mothers there are in Malaysia and how much of the population and of the family population in particular they represent?
Yes, according to the statistics of 2010, we have 831,000 single mothers, and this represents 15% of families in Malaysia. So it is a huge, it's a staggering figure if you're talking about 15%.
And what is the average age group of these mothers and their education level?
Okay, we did a study, a random study, and we looked at 31 women between the ages of 31 to 40. And a majority of these women were either school dropouts or they themselves did not have any schooling. At most, they had lower secondary education. It means that the skills they have is very, very minimum.
On average, how many children do our single mothers have, and how many of them have children under the age of 12?
It's a significant percent. It's more than 50. It's more than 50% of these women between the ages of 31 to 40 who have young children. And surprisingly, the number of children ranges between 2 to 3 to 5. A misconception sometimes is that, oh, the single mothers have 10 children and 11 children. In our random study, we found that not to be true. You have between 2 to 3 and 5, and even with that, they're struggling.
And so with that number then, what are some of the main reasons they're bringing up their children alone?
There are about 9 categories, and we've put them into 4 categories. They have been singled because their husbands have died, or their husbands are sick. That means they're alive and they're sick. They're in prison, or they're in drug rehab centres. They have been divorced. They've run off. Okay, so these are among the reasons why mothers have been singled.
And what are some of the key challenges that they're facing in bringing up their children alone? I suppose income is a major problem.
Yes, income is the major problem and a major determinant, because from that stem other problems. Okay, you have, we looked at income, about 60% of them earn incomes below 700. If we looked at 1,000 ringgit, then 90% of these single mothers whom we interviewed have incomes below 1,000 ringgit. So with that kind of incomes, number one, the challenge that they face is the problem of housing. Because we are becoming an urban population, and rental is between 250 to 300. So the women, in order to face this problem, in order to be able to manage to pay, surprisingly, we found that there's a pattern of shifting. They stay in one house for a couple of months, they can't pay the rent, they move. That's one way. So they migrate from house to house, whichever. Another one is, sadly, they're forced to separate their families. Meaning, if they have 4 children, one child will be in one relative, another friend's house. They themselves might be with a younger child, with another. So the family is separated. So that's one problem stemming from income. Another one is the whole issue of child care. When these women go to work, they're either left in the care of children between the ages of 10 to 14, or they're left in the care of some elderly, their mothers, an uncle. Sometimes you even have an elder brother. For example, you have a child going to afternoon school, an elder brother, looking after the younger siblings who might be girls. Sometimes these children are just left on their own. So that is a childcare problem. And you have other issues.
And when we look at that number of 700 to 1,000 ringgit, is that the pay of multiple jobs, or, you know, more often than not, they can only find the time to have a single job earning that single income?
Most often, I mean, this 1,000, in that study, there were only about 3 or 4 people earning that 1,000. Generally, it is 700, and it's from a single job. And very often, the jobs are from the unorganized sector. Can I give you an example? Yeah, it's washing plates, washing dishes at a restaurant. And it can either be in the evenings, meaning from 6 o'clock to almost midnight. And, you know, under circumstances which are very challenging, you know, they get wet in the rain. Yeah, sometimes they do take on 2 jobs.
But either way, it's just really difficult.
It's very difficult because we go back again to their starting point of not having skills. So, for example, they do housework. So if it's housework, it is from a multiple number of houses that they earn. Yeah.
I'm speaking today with Veronica Ratnam, coordinator of the Women's Desk Party Socialist Malaysia, and Parameswari Alumalai, coordinator of Jerit. We are discussing proposed strategies to improve the welfare of single mothers and urban poor in light of an upcoming symposium on the 11th Malaysia Plan. Up next, we find out more about the plight of the urban poor, as well as continue our conversations about single mothers and the support systems that they have on Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You are listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. In the studio with me today is Veronica Ratnam, coordinator of the Women's Desk at Party Socialist Malaysia, as well as Parameswari Alumalai, coordinator at Jerit. We are discussing strategies to improve the welfare of single mothers and the urban poor under the 11th Malaysia Plan. Veronica, earlier we were talking about single mothers and their income. So you mentioned how some of them are in order to cope with housing, might end up separating their families and so
That's
on.
Right.
So what support systems then do single mothers tend to have in terms of raising their children? Is there familial support at least, or social support?
Familial support, I think, is minimum because their families themselves come from low-income families, low-income households. What support they offer would be like to take in that one child, maybe some very, very basic food support. If in terms of other organizations, NGOs, you have some welfare bodies providing some support, the government through JKM does give the support, but then there is no support for housing. It is that support for child, for their children. It's 100 ringgit per child. And if you have 5-6 children, the maximum that you receive is 450 ringgit.
So research has shown that households headed by females are among the poorest of the poor, I think, as you've pointed out as well, and they do require special and urgent government attention and assistance. What are your recommendations in terms of formulating policies and programs that would fit the requirements of single mothers?
I think number one point is there has to be data gathering, because our study was a random study. So I think the government, with all its resources, needs to do a national database collection and to look at who are these single mothers and where they are coming from and what are their issues. And I think secondly, there has to be a review of the assistance given out by the welfare department, because I think for 30 years there hasn't been any serious review. You need to look, for example, today the cutoff point for welfare assistance is an income of 740. Yeah. So is that figure realistic in the light of today's socioeconomic situations in terms of rising prices, in terms of cost, even transportation? Okay, so we need to review that. We need to review the criteria. But in terms of concrete suggestions, firstly, what we did was we got together with a group of interested NGOs and we formed a coalition called the Jaringan Rakan Ibu Tunggal. And we presented a memorandum. We came together, we collected views and we came to. So what we have presented is, number one, for the government to provide subsidies for the women for housing. We are asking for subsidies, rental support of 250. It's like council housing. So that one security issue is taken care of. Then we're looking also at food issues, because we found, and this is, I would say, scandalous, because we pose specific questions. What do you give your children for the breakfast in terms of a drink? Majority would give black tea or black coffee, kopi o teh o. Yeah, and we looked at children below the age of 3, and they themselves were getting kopi o and teh o. I'm not advocating for formula milk. Yeah, breastfeeding, I think, is the policy, and that's what we support. But we look at the nutrition status. So we looked at what do they have. If it's the Indian group, it is rasam, it's masak lemak, it's sambal, and very little vegetables. They buy a small amount, and that vegetable is only for one meal and it stretches. So we are looking at the government for nutrition support for children below the age of 18 and for women earning 1,500 and below. So meaning the housing support for women below earning below 1,500 and for children below 18, the age of 18. So we're also talking about nutrition support of 100 ringgit per child below the age of 18. Transport is another issue. Public transport is almost unheard of in certain sectors. And for these women with young children, they need to make frequent visits to the hospital. It's about 30 ringgit sometimes one way by taxi. They have no choice. Let's say those with welfare issues. You know, very often they get terminated and they need to go to the welfare department.
That's more transport.
That's another transport. So we are asking for transport support as well, vouchers, yeah? We're looking also at the need for counsellors. We need the counsellors to go to the women so that their issues, their problems can be understood, that these officers will be able to understand. You don't sit in your office and expect the women to come. You go down to the ground and see what is the issue, because the single mothers themselves do not have the skills and the necessary ability to bring up their children. So someone with a professional help will be able to reach out. They have got health issues.
And I suppose also, rather than relying on the communication skills of one person, if you go there and observe the situation on your own, you might be able to obtain more information that way.
Correct, yeah.
Moving on then to the issue of urban poor, Paramesh, your focus is on that. What are the determinants of poverty in the urban setting?
The Housing Ministry has defined the urban poor. We have two category of urban poor: hardcore urban poor and also poor. And this hardcore urban poor, those who are living below the income poverty line, which is 763 ringgit in Peninsular Malaysia, and the poor, those who are living, their income is lower than 1,500 per month. And these are the category, and if we look at the community, the urban community, those who are working as the cleaners, the non-professional workers, the cleaners, the salesperson, and normal staff, and those who are living in a PPR, the Project Perumahan Raya, council houses, and those who are staying in a rental flats houses, rented houses. So these are the main, and also the Rumah Panjang still exists. Few Rumah Panjang in KL, Kuala Lumpur itself, the Rumah Panjang communities, and also some homeless. We can find the homeless is also getting bigger numbers. So these are the basically the urban poor communities who are staying, the urban poor communities in Malaysia. And if we look at the causes, what are the causes for the urban poor? First of all is the income. The low income couldn't meet the living cost, the increasing living cost. If we look at the statistic in 2009, below 40% of households are earning below 2,300 ringgit, below 40. And the second, the middle income, the middle group are earning like 3,000 to 7,000. So this, the below, the bottom 40% are earning 2,300. And the living cost, if we look at the living cost in cities and all that, it's very high. And I think Malaysian Insider has done one survey. In Penang, the living cost for the normal group is 4,000. It's in Penang. It's so, and but if we look at the expenses for someone who is earning 3,000 ringgit per month, they have to pay the loan, the house loan or the rental and the car loan, not inclusive of petrol consumptions, and also the utility bills and also the groceries and the food. So that 3,000 itself is not sufficient for them survive. Also, if we look at the trend, the youth, most of the youth who are dropouts, it also increasing, the dropouts, the youngsters, and all this increasing. And they also, they are non-skilled workers, though they don't have choice.
So since, so many avenues are closed off, right, jobs, houses, and so on, do the urban poor have proper access to education, proper nutrition, and healthcare?
The access to private education or what we call the extra education is very limited, or they cannot afford to pay. You see, the living cost is already high. So for a family, the poor family, for them to pay a tuition fee is also very high. And also, if we look at the current education, the education system, it's more profit-orientated.
Are there issues when it comes to childcare as well?
Yes, I think we have a major issue with childcare, because you're talking about, in our study, 42% of families have children between the ages of below the age of 12, with average of 2 to 3, and some 5 children. Now, as I had mentioned earlier, these children are left on their own under circumstances that are not right. So childcare is a must. Childcare is a must so that these children do not fall into that same vicious cycle of poverty which their mothers have fallen into. So we are talking about a safety net, not for a sector of society of these children, but generally
that safety net needs to be present.
In order to address some of the issues of insecurity faced by the problems, we're also proposing that the government provide single mothers with insurance so that their children will have some safety net. And going back to childcare for children below the age of 10, we are proposing also that these childcare centres give some tuition support to address the problems of literacy and numeracy. Because we have children who do not even have the basic skills of reading. You have a child who's in standard 5 who can't even write one sentence or put together words. So what is he going to do? Now, if that support is given at the childcare centre, then that child is able to come out of that circle of poverty and will not be marginalised in the next generation.
The symposium on the 11th Malaysia Plan will be held this Saturday and Sunday, the 11th and 12th of April, from 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. at Auditorium Malaysia Kini. It's located at Jalan 51/205A off Jalan Tandang in Petaling Jaya, Selangor. Admission fee is RM15 for both days. You can find out more by calling Simon at 019-261-2259 or emailing kirimalaysia@gmail.com. Thank you both for joining me today. I have been speaking to Veronica Ratnam, coordinator of the Women's Desk at Parti Socialist Malaysia, and Parameswari Elumalai, coordinator at Jerit. We've been discussing proposed strategies to improve the welfare of single mothers and the urban poor under the 11th Malaysia Plan on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.